views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
You are listening to The Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes. This hit call-in show will answer any questions you have about spiritual communication through on-air readings and spirit artistry. Get ready to receive breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten your life. To say this show is educational is an understatement. Dr. Susan is the medium through which spirit communication occurs and fills the canvas of your life.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Susan Barnes, and you are listening to the Psychic Professor Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience the voices of spirit. Each week on Psychic Professor Show, we will have some of the most knowledgeable spiritual voices helping you to answer your personal questions. And I will open up the phone lines today. So if you have any questions or comments, you can call us at 800-930-2800. And now I would really like to welcome my guest, Rob Blackburn, to the show, and we're going to be talking about physical mediumship. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be on the show, Susan.
Well, the pleasure's all mine to have you. Now, my first question I have for you is, how did you get involved in all this stuff?
Yeah, it's a good question. My people, their introduction to afterlife studies begins that way. And now, although I had experiences all my life, various experiences, they were sort of clouded by the pop culture that I'd learned or been indoctrinated into as a child. So I never had any formal experience, any kind of religious experiences, except what kind of stumbled into and out of. But when my father passed in 2004, and, you know, I've always had an interest in, you know, mysticism and religion. And I'm a history teacher after all. When he passed, I decided I was going to investigate the afterlife. I was going to investigate from an angle, a technological angle, because at that point I didn't believe that I had any sort of ability on my own. And it was only later I would discover that I didn't need the technology to communicate. But at that point, I worked with EVP, the electronic voice phenomena, using digital, recording devices to capture the voices of spirit in my attempts to communicate with them. And that was back in 2004. And quickly, I was getting results, you know, not stupendous results by today's standards, you know, with better technique, but I was getting results. And I didn't find it terrifying. I found it more and more and more interesting and enveloping, you know, and it really kind of helped me through my grieving process, because ultimately I was trying to communicate with my mother, who had passed in 2001, and I was trying to communicate with my recently passed father. But I ended up communicating with a whole host of other people that I had no idea were there and ready.
So, did you ever communicate with your mother and father?
I did. In fact, the first recording that I have was, now, strangely enough, and this is probably one of the reasons why I went with EVP right off. You know, I had heard about it through Coast to Coast AM. I was a fan of listening to that show back in the 2000s. And, you know, Art Bell would have these people, these ghost investigators on, and they would talk about you know, capturing the voices of the so-called deceased, so on and so forth. But when my father, my mother passed away in 2001, my father, of course, was alone in his condo you know, most of the time, except when there's family or friends over. And he would often talk about how he would hear my mother's voice calling to him. And, it, you know, it disturbed him, and it, you know, made him very sad, you know, because he, you know, he loved my mother very, very much. And I thought perhaps this was a kind of his forlorn heart, you know, his, he wanted to hear her voice, in other words, right? But after he passed, and the night that he passed, after the coroner left, after, you know, I left his condo, I was driving up the hill from where his condo is up towards where I was living, and I heard him speak to me. And now I've had sort of clairaudient experiences in my life. They were sporadic. But again, a voice, right? And he said to me, you know, take care of your sister. That's what he had said. And it was, you know, it was clearly him speaking to me. So, you know, voices that could be heard, whether they were, you know, actually in the atmosphere or projected into our minds, I wasn't sure. So that pushed me to try to explore the technology, you know, and maybe I could capture the voices. I have since heard from my father. I never got my father on, to my knowledge anyway, recorded, but I did hear from my mother recorded. That was the first EVP I got, actually. It was her saying, prepare. And it was a whispery voice. It was very, very clear. In fact, it was one of the most clear EVPs I've ever heard. But I never got one quite like that again. And of course, the first attempt was, you know, was a phenomenal, you know, example. And then I was never able to get that level of clarity again.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, sometimes spirit like tempts us that way. They'll give you this great experience first to get you hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard people that are sitting for the first time for physical mediumship, for example, they'll have, you know, insane results the first couple times they sit, and then nothing for years. You know? And
yes.
And it's like that. Yeah. So it is sort of, it's spirit letting us know that there's something that is worth working for or working towards.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, but you know, I also have to tell you that hearing voices of someone who is deceased is not that unusual. I've had people tell me that, but when they hear the voices like your father, they've been scared or concerned or thought they were a little bit crazy. So having you confirm it is very good. And I always tell them, no, you heard the voice. You heard the voice. Did you want to add any? Oops, we'll keep talking.
It's all right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting that clairaudience became, a mental medium, at least the mental medium part of my mediumship. Clairaudience is the strongest. And as I look back on my life, the incidents where I've had some sort of strange experience, they usually are, they are related to having heard it, not necessarily seen it, but having heard it. I was an RA in a college years ago in the late 90s, and of course, we were invited to the university, to the school, we'd stay in the dorm before anybody else would get there. And I remember hearing, it was a week before any other students were there, and I was completely alone in this building, right? And I remember hearing these unearthly music coming from the walls, And I thought it was both haunting and beautiful at the same time. Again, I wasn't disturbed by it. I was fascinated by it. You know, I thought, well, you know, it could be some kind of strange atmospheric kind of condition, or maybe, you know, sound waves reverberating through the building. I have no idea, right? But I mean, I again, now from my point of view, now I realize that this was definitely a clairaudient experience.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting that you mentioned music, because for some reason today in my readings, it has come up again that spirit sometimes brings through the music. And we did a show with Marjorie Roth, who which was very interesting because we found that musicians often talk about playing their music in similar ways as mediums talk.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, so there is a relationship there between music and spirit. Now, what things did you look at? Did you look at any books or you were listening to Coast to Coast?
Sure. Yeah, Coast to Coast had, they always had a variety of guests on about various things. I intentionally did not want to I didn't want to color my investigation. At that point, there wasn't really much in the way of EVP, anything you could buy and read. And there wasn't much. There were a few forums that were available. So I approached it completely unaided by any other, any other source of information. And I just took my own notes and I went about it, that way. And that was, I think, useful. But I did that for a few years. Up until about 2008. So I was at the EVP, doing the ITC thing. And I think gradually, after the first couple of years, I started to do research into the field and into other parts of spirituality. We call spirituality, but it's, whatever it actually is, I was researching into it. Afterlife studies, I guess, would be a better way of looking at it.
Yes,
So I slowly broadened my mind into the topics. So I didn't front load any of it with a bunch of information. I wanted to experience it myself, and then later be validated by others' experience.
That makes sense. And I'm kind of thinking back and with my own training, and yes, I realized that it wasn't until I'd been doing the mediumship for a while. Then I began to study it and learn more about it. So, yes, I've heard other people say that too, so that's good. How did you get involved with AREI?
Well, AREI is a relatively recently created organization that came out of Craig Hogan's work in afterlife studies. And Craig Hogan he's an author, researcher, and he's also organized several symposiums on the afterlife. You're familiar with Craig. I met him back in 2007 or 2008 when he started an experimental physical circle, and I joined that circle after some experimentation with mental circles. And I got along really well with Craig and other people that he invited to the circle, and we all sat, for phenomena. And eventually that relationship led to me just sort of being there when he created AREI. So I was, involved in the physical circle for many years before AREI was created. But it came out, AREI came out of a need to organize the efforts of these people that were in the field, that were contributing to the field, and they wanted to be able to make accessible, spirituality, afterlife studies, mediumship to many more people than would normally be exposed to it. And that's really the mission of AREI, is sort of opening up that door of spirit contact, spirit healing, and research and education into the afterlife. And, of course, I was completely on board with that when he envisioned or came up with the idea for the organization. So my involvement came really first through the physical and mental circles that Craig hosted. And then, as AREI was established, I was able to work with, the various members and been working as well as a researcher in ITC. With Craig, actually, we are and have been experimenting with Sonia Rinaldi's model, in ITC, and it's been pretty successful. So that's how I'm connected to AREI. It's a wonderful organization. And they're going to be putting on their symposium in next September?
Yes. Yes, it will be in September. Again, yeah, because I'm planning to go. I will be there. And I have some other friends of mine that are going to be there for the first time, which will be really great. So it will be wonderful. Anyway, yes, so you got involved with AREI, and then that everything moved forward from there. How is the circle going?
Oh, it's going wonderfully. The phenomena is both we're getting ectoplasmic and also energy phenomena in at the circle. I'm in the cabinet and they're working with me, and they're doing various things with me, and then the outside of the cabinet they it's amazing. The phenomena that they manifest is not always, it's not consistent. They change it up, and they've changed up in the last, through the last couple years, where the phenomena has really been exceptional. And, they are not necessarily, at first they were interested in having guests come in and talk to us. We have the sitters that we have, we're really very, very lucky, because the sitters we have are all mental mediums, and they're able to pick up and get information from the beings that come in and communicate. And the communication is validated through the knockings and the tappings on the table. So when a message comes through from one of these visitors, we're able to validate it by the knocking on the table. The physical phenomenon, validates the mental phenomenon.
Yes, that's very true. I've been doing a lot of research on physical mediumship because I'm trying to put together a book, and hopefully I'll have it done before the conference in September. I've been finding all kinds of really interesting things about the physical part and the mental part. And there, I just read something where it said that you don't even need a medium to be able to create some kinds of phenomena. But they also said that it's really good if you have a trance medium in the group. So now, are you the trance medium in your group? I know you have one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a trance medium, but the physical medium. Where they are experimenting with ectoplasm. So yeah, there are trance states that are involved, but I'm not always completely out. There's times where I can feel them working and pulling, I guess the ectoplasm out of my nose, which is an odd experience to be conscious and feel, that's what's going on in the cabinet. Outside of the cabinet, and how that interacts with what's going on outside the cabinet is a mystery. They're doing the energy, as far as we understand, the energy work outside of it, and the ectoplasm on the inside. Now, it's possible they're doing things with the ectoplasm on the outside. It's possible they're doing energy stuff on the inside of the cabinet. The process is it's mysterious. And this sort of thing is just not well documented, in terms of, procedure, because I think they're very experimental. It'll take years before, my mediumship in terms of physical mediumship is developed to the point where, I'm projecting away years, before we're going to get things that would be more like what you'd see or hear about, 19th century, type mediumship. If that even happens. So I don't even know, right?
Yeah, we never know. It's all an experiment. But I have a question for you. How do you differentiate between ectoplasm and energy?
The energy that is drawn from the sitters is not necessarily, I guess it's more subtle, or it doesn't need it, they don't exhibit any kind of exuding feeling. They'll have physical sensations, but it's not like something that is coming out of an orifice. Although they have experienced, you know, physical kinds of symptoms that are odd, and when it's recorded too on the camera, nothing seems to be emanating from any of the sitters outside. Whereas inside the cabinet, I mean, I felt the exuded substance actually hit the side of my face. I asked them once, you know, because I wasn't, you know, I wanted proof. I said, well, if you're doing this, because there's no camera inside the cabinet, and we're at such early stages of development, you know, I don't know what's dangerous, what's not dangerous, and so. I asked them, I'd love to have proof of what you are doing. You know, if you're exuding something, can you somehow show me, or can you do something? And that's what they did. The first thing they did was to cause a burning sensation. When I asked them, you know, can you tell me that you're pulling something out? And this was out of the nose, out of the nostrils. And they gave me a burning sensation one sitting to tell me that that's what they were doing. Nothing too terrible. It was just a slightly burning sensation. And then, I don't know if it was the following week, but I asked them, well, can you do something a little bit more, something a little bit more physical? And they did. They exuded a substance, and the substance, it was physical, and it hit the side of my face, you know, not hard, but it was sort of whapping the side of my face. So whatever it is that they pulled out was physical enough to do that. So to answer your question, longly, I guess, the energy is far more subtle, relatively unseen. You can't really see it. Whereas the ectoplasm is a substance that is, could be seen potentially, has physical characteristics, whereas the energy, may not, may be, it's some sort of subtle force. I don't know what it is. That's mysterious as to what energy is. We say use the word energy. I don't know what it is, but
well, but the reason different. Yeah, the reason why I asked is because some mediums that I've seen work with ectoplasm, and yes, I have seen the physical substance, and other mediums claim to work with energy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there is no substance that you see, but the results of the energy work seem to be a little bit different from the ectoplasma. Yeah. And it doesn't seem to take as much of a toll on the medium.
And it works apparently in white light as well. The energy mediumship is more versatile. It's mobile. You know, you have an energy physical medium. They can be sitting in a cafe. They could be in broad daylight. It's even suspected that, you know, D.D. Hume could have been, you know, or could have used that form of mediumship as well, because he exhibited, all manner of manifestation in white light. So not to say that ectoplasm couldn't be exuded under those conditions, but it seems to be a heck of a lot more difficult.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's what happens. Usually it's created in a cabinet in the dark with the medium. And then once it starts to come out of the cabinet, then they can tell you to turn on the red light and mm-hmm. you can start to see what it's doing, how it's manifesting mm-hmm. or materializations. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't see materialization without a light.
Very true, right? You could feel it, like in David Thompson's seances, the booming voice, the hand of William on your head, that kind of thing, yeah, without the red light. But
yeah,
I think our goal would be, you know, for everyone to be able to see it, you know?
Yeah, that's what people try for. Yeah, they try to be... Where they want everybody in the group to see the same thing in order mm-hmm. for it to be real phenomena. Yeah. Otherwise mm-hmm. people could just be seeing things clairvoyantly. And different people have different degrees of seeing spirit and different ways of
right.
seeing spirit. So Yeah, for phenomena, we definitely want everyone to hear it and see it and sometimes touch it. Only if the medium gives you permission. And I have to tell you, the one time I had permission to touch ectoplasma, I didn't go up and do it.
Oh, no.
No, I didn't go up and do it because it just looked so mucousy and, I don't know, it looked slimy, so I didn't touch it. But now I'm sorry I didn't, but anyway, yes. So the substances, yeah, we see that the ectoplasma images, and you see them in the classical photographs of the old-time mediums where you see the ectoplasma coming out of the medium and then creating all kinds of different things in the room. And the ectoplasmic rods are what actually helps to move the things around the room. So anyway, let us continue talking about ectoplasma. When we come back, we're going to need to take a break now. We are talking to Rob Blackburn, and you are listening to The Psychic Professor Show, and we are going on break.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Oh. And we're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. If you'd like to ask us any questions about physical mediumship or mediumship in general, you can call 800-930-2819 to talk to us. The phone lines are open. And I'm talking to Rob Blackburn, and we are talking about ectoplasma and physical mediumship. So, Rob, it was really interesting that you said you started to get the formation of a little bit of ectoplasma. Is that correct?
That is correct, Susan. And it's something that I asked the team to show me, you know, because I could feel it and I had felt it. But I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure because, you know, I what I thought I felt might not be reality, right? It could be simply just tickling in my nose. It could have been, you know, the feeling of something touching my face. I wasn't sure. So, but what they did for me was, as far as I was concerned, completely undeniable. You know, it was a physical, something very physical, hitting my face. And it could not be something that I could imagine.
Yes. Now, absolutely, that's true. What types of phenomena have you experienced in your circle?
Well, we've had a large variety of phenomena over the years. So the present circle has gotten the most. But in previous incarnations of the circle, we received different kinds. One particular event I thought was fascinating. It was just me and Renee, one of the sitters from back in the day, and it was just she and I sitting one night. And this is an interesting story, just that I think it could happen to anybody. A lot of the early circle experiences were the sorts of kinds of experiences I think early circles could get. You know, people can open their minds up to the possibility of these sorts of experiences. But we're listening to Beatle music, and you know, she and I were huge fans of the Beatles. And we're sitting there listening. I think we were listening to All You Need Is Love. And we're singing along, and it's probably three quarters the way through the seance. And I know we should have more people there, but she was the only one that was able to go that night. And I wasn't going to turn down, you know, the chance to sit. And so we're listening to All You Need Is Love. And we both felt very strange, almost like a nervous, anticipatory anxiety. You know, we both felt like the room, there was something in the room. There was like an energy in the room. We both felt it, and it was palpable. We looked at each other, and we said, what's going on? You know, what's happening? Something's going to happen. We had to sense that something was going to happen. And as the music was playing, we heard a voice sing along to a line in the song, come right over the music and sing with the song. And we thought that was just an absolutely phenomenal experience.
Yeah, I mean, you got a little bit of direct voice there.
Possibly. I know. And that was just that, you know, that was just an early experience. But that kind of thing, people could get. You know, just even sitting with one other person, you know, being a dedicated sitter. In the last 2 years, we've had the greatest phenomena that the circle, the physical circle, in all its incarnations has experienced. And that's because we have the right people sitting. We have a group of people that came together that were all very like-minded, like-hearted, very balanced. And the team just took that and rolled with it. And the kinds of experiences that we have what I call the haunted house effect, which is this sense of presence in the room, knocking coming from everywhere, knocking coming from upstairs, in the walls. The sounds of movement of furniture and footsteps happening upstairs, just lots of different noise, crackling in the ceiling, all that kind of thing. That takes place. That happens almost every time. Then there's the more directed answer kinds of noises, where, you know, we ask a question and then they answer the question by knocking on the table. We don't do a, you know, one for yes and two for no kind of thing. It's more like no knocking for no and knocking for yes. So that's the sort of physical kind of noise that we get. We've had animal noises. We've had, you know, unknown sounds that sound like metal clanging when there's no metal. We've had disembodied voices that are very light. We've had not only your typical sorts of pinprick lights that appear, but also, you know, almost like a shroud of stars hang over the top of the table and the sitters. We've had lights that have remained for long periods of time where everybody can see them. They're just sort of stationary, and then they disappear. So mostly light and sound. So light formations, light manifestations, and then you know, the knockings and the bangings and the communication. Touching is another thing that we've had. Scratching and pulling on people. I mean, when I say scratching, I mean that it sounds like the floor is being scratched. People aren't being scratched. And then the pulling on people, feeling of people or hands touching the hair or the head or the arm. We've had phenomena where it's been like, you know, our bodies feel strangely, hot and cold temperature differentials, wind, like a breeze blowing through that several people can feel happening at the same time. So I think all of what I've described has been kind of typical seance room phenomena, but all of those things we've experienced a good deal of in the last couple of years.
Yes, that is. Have you experimented with trumpets at all?
We have a trumpet in the room. They have not grabbed the trumpet or you've done anything. We have other items too, like a slate, you know, that I can draw on. We have a dry erase board. We have a like bells and things. But they have not as yet played with any of those things.
Yeah, but that's kind of what it sounds like with the spirit. When you get the spirit entities coming in, they do kind of play and tugging and kind of poking and mm-hmm. touching people is one of the first initial things that they do. It's not until you can get stuff kind of moving around more that you get the different types of object phenomena happening.
Right, right. Yeah. I think, you know, I think we're at the early stages here in our circle, even though the circle's been around in various incarnations for years. It's only in the last couple that it's in the formation that it needs to be in order to really develop. And like I said, they're developing the sitters. They've said things like they are molecularly changing us. They're changing us on a molecular level is how they describe that. And, you know, whatever that might mean, right? I mean, we know that that could actually mean, but we don't know what it really means. But they are busy transforming the sitters, transforming, you know, me and the cabinet for the purposes of the circle.
Well, they have to change the vibration. And what they do, I do it this way, I call it changing the vibration. They kind of change your vibration so that you're vibrating on a higher spiritual level than most people. And that enables them to get closer to you to be able to communicate, because they have to come down as you go up.
Right.
And it's not really up and down, but that's kind of the metaphor to understand it, is that you're raising your vibration, they're lowering theirs. And so between the two, then the communication is reached. But no, this is all really interesting. There was a question I was going to ask you and I can't remember. What are you setting for your intent with the circle?
Our intent is to be used by them for whatever their purpose might be. And, you know, our goal is evidential. So evidential physical mediumship. So, you know, we're a long way from bringing people in or anything like that. But that would be that would be something we would do in the future if we were to get a greater phenomena and if that's what the team wanted. So we are really kind of, we're open to what they would like us to do. You know, we're saying that we are people that are interested in helping to be examples of what a circle can achieve when it comes together in a loving, productive way and being open to being used by Spirit.
And, that's all they ask for, yeah.
Yeah. And that's where we're at. You know, we don't have any grand designs or anything, you know.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's the way to do it. Now, my other question was, how do you get your messages?
Yeah. So we have very talented mental mutants, Sally, Ann, and Vicky. And, of course, Craig sits. And like I said, I'm in the cabinet, so I'm not out there. But the girls, the women, they are the ones that are getting messages from Spirit, from the team, and then they vocalize these messages, and then the table will rap or tap, will get indications of what they're saying as valid. So, you know, here we have an example of the team utilizing the abilities of the sitters in order to achieve their goals. So that's how we get the majority of our communication. So say, for example, the team wants to convey an idea. They'll send it along to Vicky or Sally or Ann. And they, you know, being open and being learned how to be open while sitting for a couple years now, they really have a sense of when something is coming in. And it comes in, you know, as mental mediumship, clairvoyance, really.
Yeah.
And then
we're going to have to hold that because we're about to go on a break here.
Okay.
But yes, so it's the mental mediumship. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how we work with the different things to get communication. And I'm really interested in this idea of evidential work that you want to do. So we will explore that a little bit further. And you are listening to The Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. And we'll be back in a moment.
Hi there, this is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio. If you've listened to the show, you know I talk a lot about listening to your body. Here's the deal. Listening to your body takes quieting your mind, and I want to teach you how. Actually, we're going to start right now. Take a deep breath, a truly deep breath, all the way to the top of your inhale, and then exhaling to the very bottom of your belly. Breathing, feeding your body the oxygen and fuel it needs. This is the first step in listening to your body. There's more, but it's so easy. I want to share a quick meditation with you to help you instantly reconnect with yourself and listen to your body. Simply go to audreymichelle.com/tips and download it for free today. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/tips.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
We're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. But before we continue, I'd like to remind you that this show is sponsored by the Spirit Art Gallery at www.spiritartgallery.net. And my guest today is Rob Blackburn, and we are talking about physical mediumship. And we were talking about the different ways that spirit communicates to people in the group. And you were saying that, Rob, that you have a good number of mental mediums in your group, and that's how you get messages from spirit.
Right. So it wouldn't be, I don't think it would be appropriate if it was just mental mediumship, right? Because then we could have anybody saying whatever they wanted, and sort of guiding us that way. Fortunately, the mental mediumship is used in order to validate what the team wants or is trying to communicate to us or to answer our questions. And they do that by using the physical phenomena. So say, for example, Vicky gets a message and whatever that message might be. And she conveys the message because she's sensitive and knows that's what they're trying to do. They want to get this message out. The team does. Well, when she does, the table will knock. It will knock. It'll be obvious after she says what she says that that's what the team wanted to be conveyed. And in that way, the team is using the abilities, the natural abilities of the sitters to their advantage in order to communicate. Otherwise, we would have to use like a system of knocks. One knock for A, two knocks for B, three knocks for C, and that kind of thing, you know. Well, we forego all of that because of the ability of the sitters.
No, that makes very good sense. I know that those knocking systems were used at first by the Fox sisters, which is the beginning of spiritualism and contemporary mediumship. But you said something earlier about wanting to go more evidential. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Sure. I think, and have experiences. But I think we're finding this with many of various physical mediums. They'll have people come in and have an evidential experience.
Okay. Rob, can you pause a second and repeat what you just said because you cut out a little bit?
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Can you get a little closer to the phone? Yeah, thanks.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I'm in a remote area too, and my signal might come in. I'm surprised it hasn't already been spotty. So I think we have a lot of physical mediums today sitting, and if they're at the point where they can demonstrate publicly, or they can demonstrate and invite people in, they want them to have an evidential experience. And that would be something that we would want to strive towards. Mental mediumship is not necessary. We have evidential mental mediums, absolutely. And I think that's something that mental mediumship is moving towards, having that evidential standing. And the same with physical mediumship. That's really the strength of physical mediumship, is the evidential quality of it. And that's what we would want to work towards. We'd want to work toward. In fact, it's standard practice in our circle that if everybody doesn't see it, you know, then we don't really note it as something that, that was phenomena that took place. We, you know, not necessarily see it. If everyone didn't experience it, you know, if one person saw a light or felt something, the others didn't. Well, that's curious and that's interesting, but that's not necessarily evidence. And so, you know, for us, we want to make sure that we're moving in that way towards a more evidential standing.
Now, when
that's why I asked them, you know.
Yeah. Now, when you say evidential, I just want to clarify the evidential because, I know in most of the circles I've been in, if everybody doesn't see it, it's not considered to be a physical phenomena. But when we talk about evidential in mental mediumship, we're talking about giving proof of the continuity of life. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, two different kinds of things there. You know, I think in mental mediumship, it's that, you know, they can't just, you know, a medium really wants to be evidential, right? I mean, otherwise, what's the point? And I think,
in England, you have to be evidential because that's
exactly.
The law. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Otherwise, what? You're practicing witchcraft or something, right?
Right, yeah. You're not doing mediumship yet. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, during the break, it was interesting. You were talking about the different kinds of teams. And we were talking, you know, about the the physical medium and health. And you were talking about different types of teams. Or beings or entities that people that are involved in physical mediumship, could potentially be involved and how that might affect your health. I was just very curious about that. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, as I said, the only thing, and I know you've got a little bit of touch of the flu here, but most mediums, which is really interesting, have some type of like an autoimmune disease or have some kind of physical problems that they somehow manage to overcome when they're doing their work and their mediumship. Most of the injuries that I've heard of from mediums have happened, you know, when people have either startled the medium or turned the lights on when they shouldn't. And ectoplasma has jumped back into the body of the medium. In those cases, they hemorrhage. And I know of a medium today that happened to. And we know historical examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that, you know, you really have to work in the light. Because there are some people that work more in a shamanistic tradition. Or what happens to them is they start out as real spiritualist mediums, and then the stress of having to perform seances for the public, they start to cheat. They start to use some magic tricks and different things. And then they have more of a toll that is taken on their bodies than other mediums, I think.
Just from the stress of it?
Well, I think it's natural law. I mean, natural law tells us that like begets like. And so if you're working in a positive mode, you're going to stay pretty positive. But if you're doing something that's negative, then it's going to have an effect on your body physically.
Hmm.
I mean, that's basically my theory, though. I don't have any documentation or research to back that up. It's just from stories I've heard people tell me.
And when you say shamanistic traditions, I'm pretty familiar with that kind of thing. Do you mean like incorporating substances into the mediumship? Is that what you also mean?
I haven't seen them do that, but I mean, I have seen Native American ceremonies and things, which are a little bit different than ours, and you don't see the ectoplasma in those situations. So, I mean, there are people that do try to do this from other traditions, but we are just about out of time. Rob, do you want to give us one final word of advice?
Oh, yeah, sure. It would be that anybody can sit for spirit. You know, you just need to find like-minded, loving, trusting people to sit with an open heart and an open mind towards being touched by Spirit, moved by Spirit, and guided by Spirit. And if you are dedicated, you know, if you build it, they will come, kind of thing. And it is completely within reach of anybody.
I agree with that. Yes, you have to have a loving heart and an open mind, and anything is possible. Well, thank you all, and I'll say goodbye for Rob and myself. You've been listening to the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes.
You've been listening to the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes, the Voices of Spirit Radio. Dr. Barnes' deep knowledge of spiritual issues provides an hour of lively talk and discussion about everything from historical facts to transcommunication. To download this show or any past shows, or to learn more about Dr. Susan and her spirit-inspired art, visit spiritartgallery.net.